Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And so, just as you are perhaps heading to the beach, comes the headline, great white sharks in greater numbers are heading there as well. In the past few years, sightings have become a yearly occurrence. Last week, a couple of fishermen had quite the day on Cape Cod Bay.
That is a huge white shark, dude. That is a huge white shark. Look at that thing. Follow him. See if you can swing it right around. We'll keep chasing him. Look at the size of that fish. Look at this thing. Holy.
I'm going to jump in and swim with him.
This thing's got to be 18 feet long.
We're going to need a bigger boat. We'll post the video at hereandnow.org, and in it, you can very clearly see a huge, sleek shark just near the surface of the water by the boat. Two recent studies published in the journal PLOS One from the Public Library of Science back up the anecdotal sense that the great whites are back, both in the Atlantic and Pacific oceans off the U.S. George Burgess is the director of the Florida Program for Shark Research at the Florida Museum of Natural History. He's worked on both studies and joins us from WRUF in Gainesville, Florida. And George, when we say back or on the rise, how would you characterize what we're seeing with the shark populations?
Well, the populations are returning from the abyss. They took the big dive. Now they're on the recovery phase, and we're happy to see that.
Well, happy because why?
Well, of course, sharks are a natural part of our system, and perhaps as apex predators, the top of the food chain, they have a special place, at least in our eyes, as sort of poster children of the sea. So having the biggest and baddest shark go down the tube is not good, and seeing it come back is a good thing.
But why do you think, why did they go away and why are they coming back?
Well, they went away because of us, quite frankly. Once white men got to North America, we immediately began hitting on the white shark's major food items, which are the large sea mammals, the seals on the east coast and sea lions and elephant seals on the west. And those fisheries that largely eliminated those species also eliminated the white shark's major prey item. At the same time, we also began fisheries for sharks themselves, either directly or indirectly. And so from both fronts, the white shark's populations declined. About 30 years ago, the U.S. enacted the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which essentially put the halts on any fishing for sea mammals. And so their populations have benefited over three decades now of beginning to come back. And the designation of white sharks as prohibited by the National Marine Fisheries Service has provided a modicum of protection for them as well. And, of course, as they ease their way back upwards, we as humans begin to see them and encounter them more often.
Well, we see the seals returning along Cape Cod, for instance, and we see the sharks right behind them. We have, you know, famous pictures of kayakers just a little bit off of popular beaches with the shark fin right behind them. I mean, can they come back too much?
The fact of the matter is they can't come back too much from an ecological standpoint, because they'll reach their natural equilibrium in the grand scheme of things in the sea. I guess the question probably is more, can we as humans live with more white sharks?
Yeah. And I want to ask you if you feel we can. But meantime, it's so interesting. You mentioned this is their territory. I think you told U.S. News and World Report that for some reason people think nothing about wandering into the ocean, but we wouldn't walk into a jungle, which is the environment of other predators.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's a wilderness experience every time we enter the sea. And the fact of the matter is we enter the sea naked and dumb millions of times a year. And only about five times a year we don't come out. So that means that the sea is actually a pretty benign place, considering it is a wilderness.
Well, first of all, I'm going to think of swimming differently from now on. I will be naked and dumb. I'll keep that in mind. But when you say we don't come out five times, you mean there's about four or five deaths of humans by sharks every year, whereas humans kill about 37 million sharks per year?
That's correct. And that 37 is perhaps a conservative number.
Well, so to what you think is the question, can humans coexist with sharks in the ocean? And by the way, you say we're doing it a lot more than we know, that a lot of times when you're swimming on the coasts, there's a shark right near you and you don't know it?
Yep, that's absolutely true. Because the out of sight, out of mind kind of atmosphere with us, when we enter the sea, if we go into the sea often, we've been, you know, within 10 or 15 feet of a shark several times in our lifetime. And at any given moment, right now, being 4th of July weekend, there's probably hundreds of people that are close to sharks like that right now.
All right. Well, I mean, I know last summer I actually bumped into a huge seal in a wave off Martha's Vineyard. I knew immediately I should get out because if he's there, there might be a shark there. But how do you coexist best as a human in the water with a shark?
Well, we wouldn't think about going on a safari without thinking about the consequences of what we're doing and planning ahead. And the same thing should be as we go into the sea. Now, what does that mean? Well, we can avoid situations where sharks are likely to be found. Certainly that seal colony you were swimming next to, probably not the best idea to be swimming in that area. Swimming after dark, between dusk and dawn, not a good idea. Those are time periods when sharks tend to be more active. Swimming in groups, absolutely. It's the reason schools of fishes are there and flocks of birds are there. There's safety in numbers, so do that. And certainly avoid situations where you know sharks might be available. If you see seabirds diving, if you see fishermen fishing, there's probably fish around. Probably go to another beach if you see that happen.
And I've been doing this since I was 10. Take off any jewelry or anything shiny.
Absolutely, absolutely. The light glinting off of your metal jewelry approximates the light glinting off the scales of bony fishes, which the sharks are looking for. And you might just simply be misinterpreted as being a fish as you move your hands and or feet.
Because sharks actually don't want humans. That's not really what they're after.
You know, humans are not part of the shark's natural diet. We're not a normal part of that environment. We're occasional visitors. And so most of the attacks that occur probably are what we call mistaken identity attacks, in which the shark interprets the splashing of human hands and feet as being the movements of normal prey items. The shark, which has to be making a living out there while we're playing, grabs at the first splash that it sees. That splash may have a foot in it, and it gets it in its mouth, and then it realizes, whoa, there's another 4 or 5 feet on the other end of this, or it doesn't taste like a mullet. But in any case, they let go and are gone. So no Jaws theme music, no panic on the beach, one person with a cut on their ankle.
That would be the good ending. George Burgess, director of the Florida Program for Shark Research at the Florida Museum of Natural History. Even though you've just wrecked it for me, happy 4th of July.
Well, thank you very much. And I think I can say safely that there will be millions of Americans in the water this weekend, and a million of them will come back out.
Hopefully. George, thank you. Take care.
Take care now.
He said, no call for Jaws theme music. Fat chance. You're listening to Here and Now.